All right, so we're all here. Everybody, come forward. I tell you what, all of you are good Southern Baptists. Sit at the back row and there's plenty of seats in front. Oh, is that it? Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And I think, as you know, the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher of the passage that we'll be looking at this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are a multitude of people who've lived on earth throughout the church age, totally wasted lives, never coming to Christ, never making Him the issue in their life, never knowing Him. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You've given to us Your Word, that we might know Your Son. Father, we pray now Your Spirit will open our eyes to things You would have us to see in the passage before us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's open the Word of God to the Gospel of John. Good old John, chapter 14. We were rudely interrupted last week, and so we'll pick it up about where we were. We're dealing with the passage in John 14 with the sending of the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons for the sending of the Holy Spirit is that we might know Christ. So let's just read so we know where we are, 16 through 21. John chapter 14, verse 16. I, Jesus Christ, will ask God the Father when I have ascended and seated at the right hand, And he will give you another Parakletos. That the Parakletos like Him, another just like me, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, a title of the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I, Jesus Christ, will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Good morning. We're reading John 14. We're in verse 19. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now we come to the main verse of our study this morning. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. It's a powerful, powerful phrase, verse. I thought God loved everyone. People, we have so much to learn about love. If love is not always the same for all people, directed toward all people, in our own lives, Husbands love their wives, wives love their husbands. But they also love other people. So it's obviously different. We love our parents, but we love other people. We have an aunt or an uncle we love, but not like we love our mom and dad. So, yes, everyone is loved by the Father. But if you want a special love, if you want a beneficial love, that's what this is talking about here. And then, of course, the all-important phrase, and will disclose myself to him. Jesus Christ does not disclose himself to everyone. He discloses himself to those who love him. In a very base example, a wife discloses herself, a husband discloses himself to his wife as he does to no other woman. The wife to the husband as she does to no other man. This is a disclosure that he doesn't make to everyone. And you spend our life on earth having Jesus Christ disclose himself to us. This is a beneficial life, a rich life. I'll tell you what, can we turn this up a little bit? Come on, I'm just going to lower my voice. Thank you. Okay, let's move into our study. He who knows my commandments. Well, some people say all the commandments of the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments, all the 1,400 commandments. No, there are only two commandments that Christ gives. Faith and love. You know them and keep them. You keep the faith by walking by faith in the Spirit. You keep the love by the Spirit pouring that love in you. And you direct that love toward Jesus Christ, toward God the Father, and toward one another. Then it is, he it is who loves me. Now, and he who loves me shall be loved of my Father. Do you desire to be loved by God the Father? How? How are we going to be loved by God the Father? It isn't just a love for everyone, people. This love is not a love from God to everyone. It doesn't even begin to love an unbeliever like a believer. And the difference between a believer growing in the Word of God, being transformed into the image of Christ, God has a greater love for him than for a believer who doesn't care at all. So if you desire to be loved of God the Father, you've got to know how. And that's what we're dealing with. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father. Then it says, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. This is the area that we were in last week. Now, to disclose myself is the verb to reveal, to make known. One major problem that so many people have with love is making themselves known to someone else. So many people build walls around themselves. I don't want anyone to know me. I don't even want my wife to know me. I don't want my husband to know me. I don't want anyone to know me. If they know me, they won't like me. Because I don't like me. They don't know me, they won't love me. If they know me, they won't love me. So therefore, I will conceal who and what I am. And people, that is a tragedy. You have deprived that person in your life the joy of entering into a relationship with you where faults don't matter. They just don't matter. They didn't matter to God. They don't matter to Christ. They don't matter to the other person. But you don't allow them to know you. Love is known in a person. That's how we know love. Love is known in a person. We do not innately love Jesus Christ. We do it by the Holy Spirit. And by the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ makes himself known. So we love him by the Holy Spirit, and it is through the Holy Spirit that Christ makes himself known to us. So if you desire to know Jesus Christ and to be known of Jesus Christ, you want to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit all the time. You want to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because it is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ will make himself known to us. Through his word and through life itself. I can honestly say Jesus Christ has been my friend in my adolescence, in my teenage years, and after that. He has been my friend. I have known him. And I know him. I know him through his word. I know him through personal experience. He is that kind of friend. But know him personally is the great challenge. As in loving him, because few believers have, by power of the Holy Spirit, learned to love Jesus Christ. They love him in human love, and they think that's what it's about. They love him in flesh love, and they think that's what it's about. No, it isn't. It's about the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit does in sending us and revealing to us Jesus Christ. Now, we see how important the principle is from a study some time ago in a wonderful book, Song of Solomon, where the Shulamite woman cried out to him, "Make yourself conspicuous to me. Make yourself known to me." He was out, away from her, for various reasons, and she longed for his presence. She longed to know his voice, his words, his life. She longed for it. She pleaded to the shepherd lover, make himself conspicuous to her. And the Hebrew word there to reveal things about himself, unknown. Unknown to anyone. Especially unknown to her. See? When a boy meets a girl, girl meets a boy, and it's on their way to the chapel type thing, marriage. What you want is to know them more and more. And so what begins to happen in a wonderful relationship is, and I like to use the illustration, I have a real playboy of mine. He has 5 or 6 girlfriends. One he loves to boat with. Another he loves to dance with. Another he loves to go to church with. Another he loves, and he has all this. See? And then he finally meets this one girl. So, on Friday night, instead of being with the one he liked to dance with, he's not with her. He's with this new one. And slowly, all of the others drift away. Because he wants to spend all of his time with this one. Getting to know her. And the same thing works with her. She used to have 5 boyfriends. And she slowly, on Friday night, she's not with who she's usually with on Friday night. She's with him. Why? She wants to know him. This is why we want to talk with one another. Why we want to reveal ourselves to one another. You're letting yourself be known to that person. At the end of this month, I will have had the privilege of being married 10 years. Thankful for it. But I'm still learning. I'm still learning. And I have a funny feeling, if I had 50 years, I'd still be learning. See? But she reveals herself. She reveals herself more and more. And by the way, now this is unlike Christ, who's the same yesterday and then and tomorrow, she's changing. So I'm seeing that and knowing that. So this is the beauty of spending your time with someone, and that's why we want to spend our time in the Word of God. We get to know Him. We get to know about Him. We get to know about other people who loved Him. I'm having more fun in Ezekiel already. Ezekiel is going to do some of the weirdest things you've ever heard. He is going to make half bread, and there is such a thing called Ezekiel bread. He's going to make Ezekiel bread, and he cooks it on cow dung. I don't think that's very healthy, but that's what he does. He's going to lose his wife and not mourn. He's going to lay on one side for over 350 days. He's going to lie on the other side over 40 days. And on and on. Why? Why is he doing these stupid things? Because he loves the Lord. And I'll show you that. He loves the Lord. And the Lord said, do it. He does it. No question. Are you kidding? No. He does it. He lies on one side for over a year. He lies on another side of his body for 40 days. He does it. And here's one I can appreciate. He goes out into a field and preaches to dry bones. Sometimes I think that's me, preaching to dry bones, but that's another issue. But he preaches to a valley of dry bones. Why? The Lord told him to. The Lord told him to. And when you love someone, that's it. And we're going to see some wonderful things about this Ezekiel. So, you want to make yourself known, make yourself conspicuous. He wants to make, he desires, by the way, Christ desires to make himself known to every one of us. But he can't. He can't. A husband cannot make himself known to a wife who's not there. Always gone, doing something else. See? He wants to, but she's not there. Other things are more important. So he cannot reveal himself. Christ wants to reveal himself. We're always too busy. We're doing other things. We don't have time to go to Bible class even 3 times a week. We're too busy. We got other things to do. So he can't reveal himself to us. It's our fault. To make yourself conspicuous or to reveal yourself, to make yourself known to another person, first, to know that if you do reveal yourself, they will continue to love you and not reject you. There's one of the great problems. We have studied many points on communication from Scripture. We studied verbal abuse and how what you can say, what you say can hurt another person. And you can't take the words back. A parent tells a child, I hate you. You can't take it back. You didn't mean it at that moment. I want to tell you something. That child heard those words and they penetrated his soul. I'm hated by my mother. I'm hated by my father. I'm hated by them. That's going to have an impact. You can say things and you can't take the words back. See? So what you say can hurt another person. See? Job says, how long will you torment my soul and crush my soul with your words? Get away from me. Job says this to 3 friends. He thought were his friends. And they crushed him with their words. They crushed him. Gigi, go back and tell him he can come on in. I don't know who it was. Now, let's go back and look at the words of our Lord. I will disclose myself, or reveal myself to him in every believer, to every believer who loves Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus Christ, he'll reveal himself. You have to love Christ for him to reveal himself to you. It's that simple. A man, taking us as the aggressor as Jesus Christ is, a man isn't going to reveal himself if a woman doesn't love him. Why? It's not worth it. So Jesus Christ is not going to. So what we have to do is we have to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. We study that so many times. You have to do this. You have to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. And by the Spirit, you will learn to love Jesus Christ. Yeah, go check that out. So this is what's going on. Now, the revealing of Christ is talking about is the same revealing that the Shulamite woman, that the Shulamite woman desired from the shepherd lover. See, the same. And in our study, Jesus Christ reveals himself, making himself conspicuous. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21, where Jesus Christ said, I will reveal myself to him who loves me. Now, we're not speaking of idle communication. Jesus Christ and the Shulamite woman in Song of Solomon are speaking of revealing conversation, of those things about the self that are essential for the person to know who and what that person is. To develop an intimate relationship requires this knowledge. I like to use the very base example of a prostitute. She will give her body, but she's not going to reveal herself. She's not going to reveal herself to that man, but she'll give her body. That's not the revealing we're talking about. We're talking about a communication where you reveal your soul, reveal who and what you are. And again, the reason people don't want to do this, they're afraid of being rejected. They're afraid of having it thrown back in the face. And people, the face is a horrible thing to have something thrown back into it. We don't like that. So a lot of people build this wall around themselves, concealing themselves so that they do not reveal who and what they are. See? And while both of these people, the one who reveals and the one who learns, there are two aspects in this. So there are two that are involved. Communication. Revealing of yourself. Making yourself conspicuous is a two-way dynamics. One person must desire to know the other person. Unfortunately, a lot of husbands don't desire to know their wives. Unfortunately, a lot of wives don't desire to know their husbands. And unfortunately, they will spend their entire married life never revealing nor receiving who and what the other person is. And that's a shame. What a waste. Marriage is where you come together and reveal yourself and have the other person reveal themselves. And they're not afraid to do it. They're not afraid that if you know me, you won't love me. That's gone now. They're not the fear anymore. That's what marriage and love is. It's a two-way communication. One desires to know the other person. And the other person desires to make himself known. Christ desires to make himself known to us. That's amazing. The Son of God, the Creator of the universe, desires to make himself known to every one of us. He desires to. Then why doesn't he do it? Because we don't let him. One, we don't give him the time. I don't have time for Bible class. I'm too busy. I'm too busy for him to reveal himself to me. I don't want to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who allows Christ to reveal himself to us supernaturally. I'm too busy to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. I got to walk in my own flesh. We're too busy for Christ to reveal himself to us. So there are two sides to their communication. One person has to desire to know the other person, and that person has to desire to make himself known. It's two ways. Christ desires to make himself known. The question is, do you desire to know him? Do you desire for him to make himself known to you in your personal, intimate life? What kind of friend is he? What kind of friend is he when I need him in various circumstances? Does he pity me, or does he give me strength? Is he compassionate to me, or is he hard-nosed? These kinds of things. What is he like when I'm in different circumstances in my life? Notice in our passage, first, you must love the Lord. That's spiritual love, not love of the flesh. This is a love that comes from the Holy Spirit. In context, verse 16, I will send you the Holy Spirit. And then in that context, he will make me known to you. Why? One, you know his commandments. What are his commandments? Faith and love. Only two. Not 1400 of the Mosaic Law. Not the Big Ten. There are two commandments. Faith and love. And if you know those two commandments and obey them, do them in your life, Christ desires and will make himself known to us. So, this is known by knowing and keeping his commandments. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. And this is the believer that Jesus Christ will reveal himself to. That you want to have that person reveal himself to you. The man's a love. It's a wise woman who reveals herself only to the man who truly loves her. Not just to any yo-yo that comes along. She ends up in a very empty life. Tormented. Lonely. Discouraged. Despondent. But it's a wise woman who guards herself. I'm not going to make myself known to every male that comes along. To one. The one who loves me. That's the idea we have in this study. There are people who are involved with another person who do not care for that person to reveal themselves, to make themselves conspicuous in their life. They're too self-centered, too occupied with self to even be concerned about you, both men and women. I'm too busy. It's all about me, says the man. I don't even care to know you. I want you to serve me. That's all I really need. I just need you to be a casual friend. I don't have time to learn about you. I don't want to. And that's the way a lot of Christians live with Christ. I'm glad you're my Savior, and he is their Savior. I'm glad, just like this guy is her husband. She is his wife. But that's the end of it. So it is with our many Christians. He's their Savior, but they don't know him. They don't want to know him. Now, if they write it down on a piece of paper, they know they've got to write down, yes, I want to know Jesus. They know that's the right answer. But they don't live it. They don't have time. I don't have time to go to Bible class. I don't have time to go to a church where the Word of God is taught. I don't have time for that. I'm a very busy person. I've got things I've got to do. So, he isn't going to reveal himself. That's a simple thing. He is not going to reveal himself to you. Don't kid yourself. He's your Savior. He doesn't back out. But he's not going to reveal himself to you because you don't have time. You don't desire it. So the issue is spirituality. You have to decide if you desire for Jesus Christ to make himself conspicuous in your life. That's a decision every one of us have to make. And you got to make it every day. Do I desire today for Christ to make himself conspicuous to me? Just like in a marriage. You have to decide every day. Just because you said I do at the altar, that isn't an I do every day. That I do has to be backed up by a billion I do's every day of our life. You've got to make that decision. And so it is with Christ. We have to decide today, do I want Jesus Christ to make himself conspicuous to me, or am I just too busy? I've just got too much to do today to be concerned about Christ. And let me tell you something, many husbands are that way with their wives, many wives are that way with their husbands, and many Christians are that way with Jesus Christ. I'm too busy for Jesus Christ to make himself conspicuous. Because I want to tell you something, and here's the heart of today's message. It takes time. You have to devote time. Time to make yourself conspicuous. Time to allow that other person to be conspicuous in your life. And most of us are too busy for even that to happen in a marriage. We got too much to do. The husband wakes up, gets dressed, goes to work, comes home, he's tired, sit down, watch TV, don't bug me. Don't bother me. See? Same thing with a woman. We're too busy for that person that we claim is so important to us. But we don't take the time to allow them to reveal themselves to us or to us to reveal ourselves to them. So this becomes the great issue. So spirituality, you have to decide. Here's the issue. And you have to decide it every day. Do I want today for Jesus Christ to make himself conspicuous? Or is that just a Sunday thing? On Sunday, I want Jesus Christ to make himself conspicuous. But Monday through Saturday, hey, I'm too busy. See? You get to decide. It's your decision what you will do. Look at chapter 15, verse 10. John chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, now what are they? Not the Ten Commandments, not the Mosaic Law, in context, two. Just two. But all those two are so difficult. Faith and love. Why is faith so difficult? It's antithetical to our flesh nature. Our flesh nature does not want to just trust. It wants to do. The basic instinct of man is to do and be rewarded for the doing. To just trust Jesus Christ, to trust His grace, trust the grace of God, that's against our flesh nature. We don't want to do that. So therefore, faith is the battle. And love. To love people. To love someone in human love, but even in spiritual love, to love someone takes time. You've got to invest time. So, verse 10 of chapter 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Christ has made the decision. Every day. Every day He made the decision to abide in God the Father's love. And then on the day when it came time for Him to start His ministry, the day of His baptism, that was the beginning of it. Every day. He had to make a decision. to let his Father's love abide in him. So, I will love him and disclose myself, back to John 14 now, verse 21. I will love him and disclose myself to him. You want Christ to love you? You want Christ to disclose himself to you? How do you do that? By knowing his commandments, by keeping his commandments, by loving him. By letting yourself allow him, I desire Christ to be known, make himself known to me. I don't want to be separated from him. I want to know him today. I don't want this day, this Sunday, this Monday, this Tuesday, this Wednesday, I don't want it to pass without him making himself conspicuous to me in this day. See? That's one of the ways that you can calculate love. If you don't care that your husband or your wife is with you today, you don't care that they reveal themselves, you might want to question your love. You might want to work on your love. See? I'm not sure that Judith understands yet why I want her at the house. It isn't that she's out somewhere and I don't trust her. No, if she's in that house, I'm comfortable. I'm at peace. When I take a steady break, I walk in. And she's cleaning this, and she's cleaning that, and that scares me, so I leave. No, she's doing these things. But you've got to invest the time in daily, people. You've got to want them. You've got to want Christ in your life. He wants to be there, I'll tell you right now. That's scripture. He wants to reveal himself to every one of us. It's entirely up to us whether we will allow him to reveal himself to us. You can know things about Jesus Christ that are unknown by others. How about that? He reveals himself to me different than he does to you. He reveals himself to you different than he does to me. I don't need what you need. You don't need what I need. On a day in and day out basis. And he knows. He knows what I need today. He knows what I need this morning. See? That's a loving husband and a loving wife. I know what you need now. And I'm here to provide it. That's Christ. I know what you need now. If you'll allow me, I'll do it. But it's up to us. It's up to us. See? So you can know things about Christ that are unknown by others. Concealed from them. They know things about him that you don't know. They have their own personal relationship with him. There are two things I love to listen to Christians talk about. Their conversion. I love conversion stories. And then about Christ in their life. Next Sunday is going to be a wonderful day in this church. You're going to hear the story of a man in the second hour, the 10:30 class. You're going to hear the story of a man who went on a bow and arrow hunting trip in Alaska and ended up fighting a 8.5-foot bear. Over 600 pounds. And only by the grace of God is he alive today. It is going to be a remarkable testimony next Sunday morning. He has a relationship with Christ I don't have. It is a phenomenal relationship. See? I told him I'm going to title it, I Fought a Bear and the Lord Won. That's going to be my title for next Sunday. I fought a bear and the Lord won. But see, people, we all have different relationships with the Lord. Your journey's different than mine. My journey's different than yours. Our journey's different than his. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, on your journey, did you take him along as your friend? Did you take him along as your friend? That's the great issue. One woman desires to know a man, and another woman does not. Which do you think he will reveal himself to? Thinking the man is Jesus Christ the aggressor. One woman desires to know him, one woman doesn't desire to know him. Which one is he going to reveal himself to? Which one is he going to want to be with? The one that doesn't desire him, she is gorgeous. She is a knockout. She doesn't care about him. But this other wonderful woman desires to know him. He desires to be with her. He will reveal himself to her because she desires for him to do so. That's the analogy with Christ. He's the aggressor. He's the man. He's not going to reveal himself if you don't want him. We're the bride of Christ. If we don't want to know him, if we don't want him in our life daily, he's a gentleman. Leave you alone. Go at it your own way. See? He called for Christ. Christ came in and fought the bear. You want to fight the bear? Have at it. See how good you can do. Call me into it. I'll be there. You got battles in your life? I'll be there. If you want me. If you want me. You're alone? I'll be there if you want me. You think the whole world is all against you? I'll be there if you want me. I'll be there if you want me. That's Christ. I'll be there if you want me. But many Christians meet Christ face to face. Here's the other myth, one of the great tragedies with the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ. Many Christians will be meeting a stranger. I don't want you to meet a stranger. I don't want that of anyone under my ministry. I don't want you to meet a stranger. I understand the principle of seeing him and falling down and worshiping. I'm sorry. My desire is to go up and hug him. He's that kind of friend. And that's how I want you to know him. I don't want you to meet a stranger at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, yeah, there he is. Yeah, who is that? No, that's my Savior. That's my friend. He walked with me. He revealed himself to me throughout my life. I want to hug my friend. So I don't want you to meet a stranger when you meet Jesus Christ. So many believers have a wrong, erroneous view of Jesus Christ. We're commanded to love as he loved. And to do this, you have to know how he loved people. How can you love as Christ loved if you don't know how he loved? Oh, well, I think I know how he would love. Let me see. I got this figured out. If Christ loves the world, no baby will die of starvation. Wait a minute. There are 100,000 babies who die daily from starvation around the world. Wait a minute. That doesn't line up with my understanding of the love of Christ. If Christ loved like I love, nobody would have problems. But everybody I know has a problem, and I have a problem figuring out why he doesn't love the way I do. See? I have a lot of problems. So what's the problem here? You don't know how he loved. You don't know. You've got to understand the Word of God to know how Christ loved. You've got to understand Nahum chapter 1, where it talks about the wrath of God. He is a righteous God. He is a righteous friend. And he deals with us in righteousness. And if you are unrighteous, he doesn't rejoice in that. And he will discipline. One of the most wonderful things we'll see on our Wednesday night study of Ezekiel is retribution against Israel. Ezekiel is going to tell them how God is mad at them. upset with them, angry with them, and boy, he's going to take it out on them. Where are the Jews today? All over the world. Why? They rejected him. We've got to know how he loves. In the next hour, we're going to study, walk in wisdom toward those that are outside of Christ. To walk in wisdom. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to walk in love. You've got to walk in love. But love without wisdom is dangerous. Wisdom without love is empty. You've got to understand both. And I got news for you. It's going to get tougher and tougher to walk with the unbelievers in this world as they become more and more anti-Christ, anti-Christian. This new Liberty Act that's just been passed, Equality Act, by the House. People, it's going to be tough being a Christian in this society. We've got to have wisdom on how to love them. Love doesn't mean you just accept. Well, you're a homosexual. I love you. That's fine. I'm glad you're a homosexual. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. We've got to walk in wisdom. Walk in love is not to walk without wisdom. Don't forget the wisdom part that we'll be studying in the next hour. It is so crucial. See? So, let's go back now to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Now, the thing about chapter 5, verse 1, is that it is, I'm sorry, this is one of the places where a chapter break is not good. Generally, chapter breaks are pretty good. This is a pitiful place for a chapter break. Look at verse 32 of Ephesians chapter 4. Be kind to one another. Another of the same kind. That is to be kind to other believers. Well, are we supposed to be kind to unbelievers? People, why? I don't know why people fight the Word of God. I didn't make this up. Be kind to other believers. But let me answer your question for you. Yes, we're to be kind to unbelievers, but that's easy. Be kind to a believer, that can be very tough. You know, I expected you to act differently. You claim to be a believer in Christ, you act like a scoundrel. So, how am I supposed to love somebody that claims to be a Christian and acts the way you do? People, it's tough to love one another. It's tough to love another believer. An unbeliever? Piece of cake. I don't expect anything from you. And when you act real bad, I'm not disappointed. I'm a little surprised when you act really good. See? It's no problem loving an unbeliever. But to love a believer, be kind to a believer who I expect to act differently and he doesn't, she doesn't, that's tough. So, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, now we come to the issue, forgiving each other. Now, here's the issue. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, Christians have the greatest reason for forgiving one another. And sometimes Christians are the worst in unforgiving. Christians are the worst. They will not forgive. And yet we have the only real reason for forgiving anyone. Unbelievers are aces at it. Unbelievers forgive and okay. I don't agree with what you did, but okay, I'll forgive you. You know, you're just a human being like I am. We have a reason for forgiving. Christ died for all the sins of the world. We of all people should be forgiving. But boy, we're not. You better earn my forgiveness. So, forgiving each other, just as God, in Christ, also has forgiven you. All sins are forgiven in Christ, past, present, and future. Now forget the chapter break. Verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, imitate God. Well, I can do that. I can imitate God. I can be holy. See, and you know what you'll get? A lot of laughter from people who know better. Even unbelievers know better. See? You can't be holy like God is holy. Yet, Matthew said, be holy as I am holy. How can I imitate God? How can I be holy as He is holy? People being imitators of God comes off of verse 32. Forgiveness. Imitate God's forgiveness. That's what's going on in the passage. Stay in context. Remember the three rules of hermeneutics, of interpreting Scripture. Three rules. Rule number one, context. Rule number two, context. Rule number three, context. Over and over in seminary. Context, context. Stay in context. Therefore, be imitators of God. See that therefore? That takes you back to 32. If therefore is not there, it's a different story. Therefore, be imitators. Forgive as He has forgiven. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Paul uses the same word for children that our Lord used in John 13. It's a term of endearment. Beloved. This is the title of Jesus Christ. We share His belovedness. You are beloved only because Jesus Christ is beloved, and you are in Christ by faith. Not because you and I earn or deserve being called beloved. We are in Christ. Christ is beloved. See? And because we are in Christ, we are beloved. Because He is beloved. I am so sorry. I don't really keep all that much involved with royalty of England. But I'm so sorry that this new woman, an American, has broken so many traditions of royalty. And she's so proud of it. She's so arrogantly proud. She's broken. She is superior to hundreds of years of traditions. What a shame. She was loved because she married one who is loved. She's proving herself to me to be unloved. She doesn't care about traditions of the royal family. Of royalty. People, there's some families you move into, you want to think twice before you move marry into them. That's why whenever my older grandchildren bring a boyfriend or girlfriend, I like to, are you sure you want to be here? You sure you want to be here with this family? Real rough bunch. Real rough bunch, fella, or young lady. See? Be sure you want to be in the royal family of God. Be sure you want to be called beloved. So this is a title we share by being in Christ. And this is to be our thinking toward one another. Do you understand that? When you meet another believer in church, in your family, at work, in the world, and they are believers, they're in the beloved. Just as you are. They're beloved just as you are beloved. I love to meet believers just on the street. I go to a grocery store, go to Home Depot, go somewhere, and just start talking. I can tell. I say, you're a believer in Christ, aren't you? And they smile. Inevitably, yes, I am. I say, well, we're going to be in heaven together. And they look at me, oh my goodness, no. And, but it's just one of those wonderful things. You share that with them. See, there are many who claim to love Jesus Christ and claim to desire to love as He loved. But the truth is, they don't love. They don't know how He loved. They don't know. Now let's go to verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Okay. Walk in love. In a few moments, walk in wisdom. People, we've got to walk in both of them. And that's tough. To walk in love, as I'm going to show you, without wisdom, is sheer foolishness. It has caused many women to marry the wrong man, walked in love rather than wisdom. On the other hand, to walk in wisdom without love is empty. It's empty wisdom if it's not supported by that love. We've got to learn to walk in love toward one another and in wisdom toward those who are without. It's amazing, people. It's amazing how we are. So this is the new commandment given to us by Jesus Christ in John chapter 13. This is one of the two commandments, faith and love. This is a present active imperative of the verb to walk. And it is used to describe a manner of life. This should characterize your life. Jesus Christ declared, "A new commandment I give to you, to the church, that you love one another of the same kind," that's other believers, "just as," oh boy, "just as" means this cannot be any kind of love you want it to be, "just as I have loved you." So we got to know how He loved in order to love. See, the old commandment was to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The new commandment, love one another as I love you. So under the old commandment, horizontal. Love you as I love myself. Love you as I love myself. I like to tell people, if you went by the old commandment, don't ever borrow money from somebody who's mad at themselves. Always find somebody who's in love with themselves on that day, who thinks they are the greatest people on earth. That's when you want to ask them for money. See? Now, new commandment, forget it. It's this way. I've got to look at how He loved me, and then, therefore, that's how I love. But it's based on Him. In order to fulfill the new commandment, we've got to know how He loved. So, this is where we're going to pick it up next Sunday morning at this point of verse 2 of Ephesians. So, this is where we'll begin. Let's close in a word of prayer. Get ready for walking in wisdom. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our study this morning. We desire Christ to make Himself known to us, Father. We desire that. But we know that desire has to be backed by our life, making ourselves available to where Christ will make Himself known to us. Father, thank You for our study. I pray Your Spirit can use it to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.